Remind all participants this conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. And I would now like to start with the roll call. Do we have, is it Amar? Hello, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. That's right. My name's Amar.
Thank you.
Thank you. And Joy Littlecote?
Yes.
Robin Gross?
Yes.
Bill Drake?
Yep.
Wolfgang?
Yes.
Next one, is it Tapani?
Yes.
Kathy? Kathy Kleinman? Kleinman?
Sorry, I'm mute. Hi, everyone.
Yes.
I don't believe we need a roll call here.
That's okay.
Okay.
Andrew.
Is that everyone?
Okay.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. One person told me to start with the roll call, and then one person told me to stop. So
yes, go ahead and finish it, please.
Yeah. Wendy Seltzer?
Yes.
Wilson?
Good.
And Edward Morris?
Yep, here.
Thank you. Did I miss anyone?
Thanks, Robin.
I think we're good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Hello, everyone. This is Robin Gross, and this is the Non-Commercial Stakeholder Group policy meeting. Let me very quickly just run through the basic agenda, and then we can just dive right into it. We've got a bunch of things on the schedule for Thursday's GNSO Council call, so we'll tackle those first. First is the motions. There's firstly a motion on the Olympic Committee Red Cross names.
Robin?
Yes?
Before you jump in, can we, are you open to any suggestions?
Absolutely.
I know that Tapani said he can only be here for a bit, and I don't know about everybody else. I think somebody else had also said on the Skype that they could only be here for a bit. So would it not make sense perhaps to flip it around and do the NCSG business first? Because we really need to plan for Los Angeles, at least in the basics, before the GNSO Council resolution thing is a much longer conversation. But I'm concerned about not getting the organizational business done first.
Okay, so as I look down at the agenda on number 3, NCSG matters, there's 3 things there: the non-contracted parties house meeting, the cyber cafe constituency proposal, and the at-large liaison position. Are those the ones you want to deal with first?
Yeah, and I think if we could just add, the point that was just discussed just to on the record about the PC and so on, you know. NCUC just had an election. We have new people we're putting into NCSG positions or old ones to confirm. So.
Okay, so you wanted to go over that. Okay.
Yeah,
all right, well, do you want to start with that since we're talking about it right now and quickly make your announcement?
Okay, that's fine. So, yes, hello, everybody who's not following the details of this. This is Bill Drake, by the way. NCUC just had an election. We have a new executive committee, which consists of Wilson Abigaba. Abigaba. I screwed up.
Abigaba.
And Tapani, I'm going to screw up your name, too, because it's not in front of me. And Norbert Klein and Carlos Alfonso and Ed Morris and myself. And so we have been having some initial boot-up conversations and have been addressing at the front end, among other things, NCUC people who represent us on NCSG committees. And we have decided to appoint to replace Brendan Kerbis and Constantinos Komitais, who's been gone for a while anyway, on the NCSG policy committee. Avi Doria and Mary Wong is our 2 new representatives. So that's one official piece of business, and we should send a note to the list. I guess I'll do that, too. Secondly, for the executive committee, I think we will, unless they tell me otherwise, and they have not yet, I assume we will be keeping on their Milton Mueller and Rafik Damak. And there's also an NCSG Finance Committee, right? Isn't there, Robin?
There is.
And who do we have? We have Milton on there, probably?
That's right.
Well, Milton's always good for the money stuff, so since he didn't make the call, we'll just unilaterally decide that he's reappointed there.
I like that strategy.
Yeah.
Great. Okay, thank you, and very excited to have Avery and Mary joining back on the policy committee. Some great experience there for us.
Hey.
And I should also mention that NPOC has made an appointment to the NCSG Executive Committee as well in the last few days, and that's Sintra Suknanin from ISOC Trinidad and Tobago. So she will also be joining the NCSG Executive Committee as an NPOC representative with Elon Berenger.
Okay.
Don't they have one other? Isn't there
nope.
two?
Each constituency.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry.
Okay. So, does anyone else have anything on that?
Does NPOC have people for the PC?
I think they're in the process of reappointing those people. But because they had Lori Schulman was one, and for some reason she had to drop out a couple weeks ago, and so I think they're in the process of finding a replacement for her right now.
Right. Good.
So we hope to know more in the next few days on that. Okay. Let's quickly talk about the non-contracted parties house intersessional meeting in January in Los Angeles. This is a meeting that ICANN staff has put together as a result of requests from various members of the community to have intersessional meetings to address whatever topics, issues the particular stakeholder group or constituency wanted to address. And so ICANN just sort of rolled up all those requests into one basket and said, okay, we're going to have this one meeting and try to meet all of those different needs and purposes with one meeting. So it's only with our house, though, which is the non-contracted parties house, the commercial stakeholder group, and the non-commercial stakeholder group. And ICANN has scheduled it for January 29-30 in Los Angeles and has provided some travel support. So we've got 8 members of the NCSG who will be participating, 6 members of NCUC will be participating, and 6 members of NPOC who will be participating. That's in person in Los Angeles. There's also remote participation for anyone to participate remotely. So, everyone's welcome to join in that meeting telephonically, even if you're not one of the ones to actually travel to Los Angeles for it. So we've got that meeting coming up, and we've started to plan some of the discussions, some of the topics to be discussed during the meeting. And as you can imagine, there's not an enormous amount of agreement between the commercial stakeholder groups and the non-commercial groups, and even some of the groups within as to what are the topics and how do we handle them. So we've been talking with Rob Hogarth and ICANN staff to try to organize that agenda and get that meeting fully planned. Does anyone else have anything they want to add on that?
This is Bill. I have all kinds of things I can add about that.
Oh, then please, you have the floor. I just wanted to kick off the discussion. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, number one, there has been a planning group, as Robin mentioned, which Robin, myself, and who else from NCSG? Alan, Rafik, and I think somebody else from NPOC, I'm forgetting.
Klaus is
in the group. And so we've been debating back and forth with the representatives from the CSG exactly what it is we're doing there. And there's been a great deal of diversity of views as to what the purpose of this meeting is, which has, I think, made things kind of go very slow and painfully. So we have this weird situation where the staff has committed to us doing this, has put on the program. We're a month ahead of the program of the meeting, and constituency travels calling people to make plans, and we still don't really have much agreement about what all we're doing. But what the most recent communications have been about, there was a draft program circulated by Rob, which suggested a two-day agenda in which we would spend a little bit of time at the front end as groups talking amongst ourselves, and then would go into a whole bunch of briefings with ICANN staff and about individual GNSO policy issues. And so the way it seemed to be evolving, Rob's trying to figure out based on what people are telling him what is the consensus desire. The way it seemed to be evolving was that we were going to be sitting around getting a lot of briefs. I've suggested instead that we should have more time for the groups to talk together. That NCUC people and then NCSG people and then the whole House should have a big chunk of the first day to try to get to know each other and get up to speed and get it organized. So we're hoping to get some feedback from other people on that. So that's one issue where we are with the agenda. The second, I think, Robin, is we should talk about, who's going. We have from NCSG, as you said, five counselors, the chair, and two other people.
Avery,
and what, you, right? And then, you're the chair. Who is the other one? Oh, Ellen.
That's all we've decided. Oh, right, Ellen, I'm sorry.
Right. And then there's six NCUC people, and we don't know who NPOC is sending. It'd be good if they would let us know. And then there's that Rob added at the insistence of the IPC, which wanted to bring in a whole bunch of its people and basically pack the meeting with trademark lawyers. And we pushed back and said, no, there must be equity between the two houses, and so no self-funded people showing up. And so the compromise was one more funded position for each house. So there's one more slot that we have to allocate to somebody, and we can't really do that until we know what all NPOC's doing. So that's an outstanding issue as well.
Okay. Is there anyone from NPOC on the call today who could give us some information?
Cintra is on the Adobe.
Hi, do Cintra, you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, great.
Hi, thanks for that, Bill and Wendy. I'm from NPOC, and as far as I know, we did request having that extra seat. I know there was a bit of back and forth on the mailing list with regard to that. I just joined the call, so I didn't hear too much about what the discussion was about. I just heard the tail end that Bill just said that that there was that one seat allocated to the constituencies. Is there any specific information you need from me?
Yes, we're trying to figure out who is going to the meeting already, what members are already going, and so the six NPOC people we know what their names are, and the eight NCSG people, we know what their names are. So we're trying to figure out who are the six NPOC people who were selected to go.
Okay, no problem. I can tell you, Aileen, Klaus, Marie-Law, myself, Conflict, and Olivier. I believe those are the six. I could double-check those, and I will put it in the chat list so you actually have the names listed.
Yes, if you could email them, that would be great, because we're trying to put our group together of participants to the meeting.
Yeah, just to say that all the members that have been allocated funds are actually executive members. So that's really, I think the additional allocation would bring the number up to seven, no? Doug, maybe you can clarify this.
I'm sorry, what did you say? Clarify which issue?
There was an additional NCSG support allocation that,
yes,
that
right,
was signed as NPOP. So I'm not sure what's happening with that one to see.
Well, we need to figure out. We need
Skype.
To fill it. Can you hear me okay?
You sound great, but Cintra's voice is very faint to me.
Okay, what I'm saying is, yes, there is one additional NCSG slot that we need to fill. And so that's one of the reasons why we're trying to get a list of who's going to be there so we can know where the gaps are and who's needed. So that's, that, you know, that would be helpful.
Okay. Just one other comment, and that is to say that that personally, I do believe that whoever is determined to be the NCSG liaison to at large should be provided some kind of support to attend that meeting as well, because personally, I do think that it's crucial that that individual is at that meeting.
Well, and it's not really part of this issue. It's the NCSG at large liaison position. So we do have that issue on the agenda today. So we can spend some time talking about that. But I wanted to talk about the non-contracted parties house meeting first. And I say Wendy has is trying to get in the queue on this. Is there anyone else who wants to get in the queue on this? Okay, go ahead, Wendy.
So I just wanted to go back to the earlier piece of the discussion and heartily second Bill's point that we not be listening to presentations. I would be happy to get a briefing book of the documents beforehand, but if I have to sit in a room and listen to documents being read out, I will simply tune out.
Right.
And I think the reason for bringing us together is to talk, as you've said. So anything I can do to help you emphasize that, if any meeting does not begin with taking all documents as read, it's a waste of time.
Robin, this is Bill. We need to have some kind of email space for the people who will be going, and maybe this is a point that once we share some, because we should pass along some of the prior messages, exchanges leading up to this, and then people will be on board. And maybe if Wendy could emphasize that point in response, we could pass that along to the planning group too. I think it does need emphasizing, because otherwise we really could end up with a very staff run thing, and we're all sitting there. You know, my suggestion was that if they wanted to do an integrated overview of the year ahead of GNSO, you know, issues or something like that. But they had listed like 4 or 6 hours, I forget, of briefings on GNSO issues. That strikes me as something we should really push back against.
You know, I agree. And the thing is, I think we already did have this conversation with staff when, you know, a couple of months ago when we started talking about this. I seem to remember Wendy saying, we don't want staff briefings. Don't give us staff briefings. And everyone was like, yeah. And then with this last iteration of the draft came out, there's a bunch of staff briefings. So I think we need to remind them that we don't, you know, really push back that this isn't going to be a useful, you know, useful for our time, because you know what will happen? Staff can sit there and do their briefings, and we'll go caucus in the hallway and get the conversations done and the work done that we needed. Obviously, that isn't the way to organize this meeting. So we need to push this point.
Robin, this is Wolfgang. You know, what I want to see is that we agree before our group goes to Los Angeles to have a very brief agreement on the 3 or 4 points we want to achieve, so that we have a clear, let's say, guideline. You know, what is our plan? what we want to have as an outcome of the meeting. So because, you know, we have discussed these issues in a lot of other environments. So just to discuss issues which are on briefing papers, you know, makes no sense. I think we want to achieve something very concrete, something very practical, and so far we have not yet cleared what are our priorities, what we want to have after LA on the table.
Robert and Bill, this is Kathy. I've got a question and a comment. I think what Wolfgang says makes a lot of sense. So let me ask my question. I'll follow it up with a comment. Do you know how much time you'll have with Fadi Shahadi in these 2 days in L.A.?
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Bill.
Fadi is supposed to make some time for us on the first day. It has been a little bit abstract exactly how much time that would be, but we were told that the schedule was being rejigged to make that possible. Right now, the schedule there's a COO meeting. The current schedule does not actually show a meeting with Fadi. But Rob was saying that, I see, there's a lunch. Oh, we're going to do a lunch with him. That's pretty boring. He's going to give a lunch talk.
Okay, well, that's a lunch talk, great, one way. It seems to me that you might want that one cut at this might be to see how much time you can get with Fadi as a stakeholder group. The non-contracted party house, the house group. Because one of the things Fadi's trying to do, and I know we have different views on this, is come up to speed on basic issues. And in front of him right now is the REA, the new working group, which I'm not sure I'm happy about, and rights protection mechanisms. And the idea of having everyone in front of him, I mean, the registries and registrars are not there. So he's got the two different sides that can really explain to him the full range of what's really being debated at ICANN on the issues that involve domain name, you know, on the issues that involve registrants. If there's a way to do it, to go through, again, basic REA issues, basic WHOIS issues, and rights protection mechanism issues, so that he sees the full diversity and full range of concerns on the fair use side, the free speech side, the privacy side, along with whatever the IP guys are going to give him. That sounds to me like a great use and a great orientation of the CEO who has decided to become personally involved in a lot of these issues. And that might be a great, I throw it out as a way to use the session in a kind of an effective, unique, and timely way. Because the timing couldn't be better for versing him on this, and there's no reason not to do it in the room with the IP guys so that what they say you can balance and what you say they can balance.
I think that's a great idea, Kathy. The only problem is I don't know that we're going to get more than half an hour of Fadi's time, and it's going to be he's going to be talking to us. I mean, but you raise a really good point, and we should request to be able to do this. I just sort of suspect we're not going to quite raise to the level of importance that we'll get that more than half an hour to an hour of attention from the CEO.
How much time would you want? Because I haven't been in any of these other planning sessions, so I don't know what else is there. But in an ideal world, how much time would you want?
A couple hours, but do you know how to upload a Word document to the Adobe Connect? Because I could put the draft program on here. I just don't know how to do it.
I don't.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, sorry, our usual Adobe driver, Avery's not on the call today. but I like that, Kathy. I mean, let's see if we can get some time with him in that way, because that would be useful, especially since he could hear the diversity of views, hear the IPC's take on something, and then hear our take on something, and really try to understand the differences. So often he just hears one side without the other side in the room, and so things can be missed in that context.
Right, and there's a new RAA document. Something just got published out there about the status of negotiations, so that's running right now. This new WHOIS working group is running. I mean, this stuff is all live, so it would be great to bring him up to speed on our concerns. Would you want the time the first day or the second day? I'm volunteering, by the way, to lobby for this if you want me to.
Are you volunteering to come to Los Angeles?
I'm volunteering to lobby for the CEO dive.
Well,
like you've got a full plate for people going.
So
we've got one.
We have one more slot, Kathy, and if you've got ideas and energy, it'd be great to have you.
Thank you. I didn't realize that option was open. Let me take a look at the dates. I appreciate it. But in the meantime, would you want the CEO time? Again, I hear what you're saying, Bill, about getting to know the CSG guys who are there and spending time. Would you want the CEO time the first day or the second day? Second day? Is that after, you know?
I don't think it matters to us. It matters to what works with his schedule. We've all been, you know, kind of on pins and needles waiting to hear, what can Fadi do? What can Fadi do? So I don't think we can say, well, we want you the first day, not the second day. I think it's all about what time he can squeeze us in.
Yeah. I will, I'm going to reply again to the planning group and reemphasize it because we did say that we wanted to talk to him more. And I can copy you into that group if you're interested.
Sure, absolutely.
Okay.
That would be great. I'm not sure, and, you know, it may drop out in the response. You know, in different people's responses, but absolutely, I appreciate it, and I think it would be great if he's in town and we can spend a lot of time with him. You know, this is the time, this is the place.
Kathy, I'm sending to you the draft agenda right now. Does anybody else on the call want me to email it to them?
Yes, please.
Who's that, please?
Wendy.
Wendy, and who else?
Yes, well, Tapani.
David,
okay.
I wouldn't mind a copy.
You could even just send it to the PC list as well, and then all the counselors and members of the policy committee would have it.
Thanks, Bill. Great. Thanks.
Yeah, but okay. Well, it's still a work in progress, but anyway, I'll send it to the people who are on the call right now asking for it. Tapani, Kleinman, and I forgot who else just said it. Oh, David. Oh, David Abbott. Okay.
Wendy wants it?
Oh, Wendy. Thank you.
Okay. So I kind of want to move us along a little bit because we're halfway into the call and we're still on issue one. So is there anything else that we need to deal with on this non-contracted parties house meeting?
Only that we quickly need NPOC to tell us who their people are so that we can finalize our lineup.
Okay. Well, Cintra said that's coming. She's going to send that. So, okay, so if there's nothing further on this, let's move on to the next issue, which is the Cyber Cafe constituency proposal. And there's not a whole lot going on here at the moment. We've had a subgroup that was set up and came up with a draft response to the Cyber Cafe constituency proponents. And the initial response was they looked too commercial to belong in the non-commercial stakeholders group. So now the next step is we send that initial response back to the applicants and give them a chance to amend their application or clarify some positions or answer some questions or ask us some questions. So we engage in a little bit of a dialogue with them about the application. And then maybe we want to change or rework a little bit our preliminary evaluation. Maybe we don't. We'll see. And then we send the final evaluation to the group and to ICANN, I want to say January 7th-ish or off the top of my head. So that's the schedule we're on there. There was also a public comment period on this issue as well, and Mary Wong did a nice job and submitted some comments from the group. And there weren't hardly any comments at all. In fact, I think there was maybe only one other substantive comment, and it was just a couple of lines saying, yeah, I like this group, please support it. It really wasn't much of a comment. So I think that the initial comment period has closed. They're currently in the reply comment period, and that's either about to close or just closing. And so this issue should be, or at least this iteration of the issue will be coming to an end here in the next couple of weeks with our evaluation to the applicants. Does anyone have any questions on that? I hope that was clear. Anyone want to discuss the proposal or feel differently, or are we just plod along in the path we're headed on it?
Can I ask, isn't Amir on the call? Because he had done a bunch of work looking at it more carefully than others.
That's right. Amir, since you're the fellow that's been holding the drafting pen on this, did you have any comments you wanted to raise?
This is Amir. Not really. I mean, the application, the group does look a lot like a commercial group, like you said. There was also a bunch of issues regarding the actual process to recognize a new Janus Open constituency that didn't really make sense regarding the application. And I think we made that clear in the draft response that we said as well. And I guess we'll just see what they have to say about it. But it really doesn't look like they took a very good look at the actual application process, what it's supposed to be like, and regarding the different members of the proposed constituency as well, the geographic distribution, and that sort of thing. But all in all,
yeah.
I guess their commercial nature is the most important factor.
Thanks. I totally agree.
Understanding as well. And then I think there was another issue, which was that they were all in a single country. And part of, as you said, the GNSO rules require a geographic diversity. And so, you know, it doesn't really matter how non-commercial, how benevolent, how humanitarian any organization is. If they come from a single country, I don't think that will meet the GNSO's criteria for a constituency.
And
there's a lot of rules.
There is also the issue that regarding organizational members of a new proposed constituency, that they should not be related to each other. And it really seems from the application that what they're trying to do is create some sort of global organization with chapters in different countries. And just a combination of all these issues make it seem that they didn't really go through the application process very thoroughly.
Yeah. Well, okay, we will respond back to them with this preliminary evaluation and see if they have any amendments or clarifications that they want to make that might change this view in the next few weeks. Okay, anything else on this one?
Go ahead, Bill.
No, go ahead.
Just the fact that we do have the opportunity to ask them questions right now if we want to, but no one has really shown an interest to ask them anything.
Yeah, there hasn't been an abundance of questions coming forward, but when I transmit the preliminary evaluation to them, you know, I can ask them if there's anything that they feel like, you know, we need to understand better that was missed from our understanding of their initial application. So I'll give them a chance I'll get the dialogue started with them. But if anyone did have some questions to raise with them, please tell me and I'll include them. Okie doke. Well, then let's move on to the next issue, which is the NCSG at-large liaison position. Now, this is a position that we just...
Robin?
Yes?
Sorry, just an agenda question since...
Yes.
I and perhaps others need to leave at the top of the hour. I wanted to make sure that we'll get to the council motions.
Oh, okay, sure. Sorry about that. I'd rearranged the order because others wanted to deal with these issues first. But
I'm sorry. All right.
That's okay. We can easily come back to that one because, you know, that we can talk about that any time, but we want our counselors on the call when we're talking about the motion. So that's no problem at all. Thanks for letting me know. Okay. So let me come back to that point, and I'm sorry for the confusion, folks. If you could let me know when I'm drafting this agenda, people have to leave and preferences for orders and such, then we can send it out before the meeting and try to run according to what's been published. Okay. So the first motion that the council will deal with is GNSO Council Agenda Item 4, Second Level Protections for Certain International Olympic Committee, Red Cross, Red Crescent Names in the First Round of New GTLDs. So this is the Olympic Committee Red Cross Drafting Team forwarded its recommendations, which are that the GNSO Council recommend to the board that it adopt the IOC Red Cross Drafting Team's recommendations, providing for temporary reservation of the exact match IOC Red Cross names at the second level prior to the delegation of the first. Yes.
I'm sorry. This is Wendy. Can I just suggest that we can go through this one very quickly because this is the same motion that was made and we voted against last time.
Yes. Tell us. Just dive right into it.
Right. So we all voted against it last time. It failed last time because of the conflict of interest that Winterfeld raised and abstained for. And then he immediately put it back on the agenda, deciding it wasn't a conflict. So,
can I ask a point of order there, Wendy? Don't they have to, like, can they submit exactly the same motion? Or don't they have to revise it and make it a different motion?
I suspect they don't run according to real strict interpretation of Robert's rules, and they could probably do whatever they want.
Well, I seem to remember when I was on council, when there were times that we supported motions that didn't pass, we were told, well, you could always rework it. Like, for example, the outreach motion. When the outreach to create the outreach task force failed, we were told by Stefan we'd have to recraft it in order to resubmit it. So don't they have to I just want to know, should we be a pain in the butt on this? It seems kind of bogus to have a motion fail and then turn around and resubmit it again simply because somebody didn't know how he was voting.
Sure.
Have you raised that point?
Can I mention this, talking this with David here?
Go ahead.
As far as I can tell, the whole idea that you can resubmit a motion as exactly the same just because basically you screwed up the first time and didn't get the result you want is completely wrong. But it's really up to the chair to is their job to enforce that kind of rule, and I don't think Jonathan really yet knows what he's doing. So that's my feeling, is that yes, we should complain that you can't just, that basically not getting the result you want is not grounds for resubmission, and also not making making a wrong decision with your own vote is not grounds for resubmission of a motion. But I suspect Jonathan will sort of, probably try and let it through anyway somehow.
That may be true, but I think it's worth raising the point of order nonetheless.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mrs. Kathy, this motion hasn't been seconded.
Joy here. Can I get a
name on it?
Yes.
The only name on it is someone who had a conflict of interest in the initial round. No second. This procedurally seems really weird.
Yeah. It's Joy here.
We all have no second, though.
Does it mean we should stop it on the procedural level, or should we just repeat our no if it comes to the substance?
It's Joy here. Can I get in the queue?
Joy, I think you're next, and then we can answer Wolfgang's question. Go ahead, Joy.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Joy.
Look, there are at least three different procedural bases on which to challenge the motion. There's the fact that it's been resubmitted in the same form. There's the fact that it's been resubmitted by somebody who claimed they had a conflict of interest and that conflict of interest issue is not resolved. And thirdly, just still on the substantive point that we oppose the motion. But I think we need to think about how we're going to play each of those procedural issues. And there has been a discussion yesterday on the council list about this question of conflict of interest, on which there are some quite detailed GNSO council operating procedures. The discussion's not in relation to this motion, but it's relevant to this motion. I don't know if you've seen that, Wendy or David or Wolfgang, or have any thoughts about it, but my view is we challenge it on the basis it's been resubmitted pro tanto. We challenge it on the basis that we have a GNSA councillor with a direct financial interest, and on that basis he was right to abstain and shouldn't participate, and try and get it bumped off the council agenda.
This is bogus.
Has anyone done
really
any
bogus
private outreach? This is Kathy. Has anyone written to Jonathan Robinson privately?
No, I haven't.
But it might be a good approach just to get a feeling for what he wants to do with this motion. I mean, you know, raising these procedural issues with him and getting a sense for how he's going to handle it would be very helpful. So there's, you know, we can kind of go into Thursday's meeting knowing what his reaction is going to be.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he'll appreciate knowing privately how strongly you feel on this and how unfair you think it is. Jonathan's got he's really good on the unfairness index. He doesn't like things that aren't fair.
Well, that may be true, but he completely screwed up the last meeting. And he didn't, while he acknowledged that it was unfair, he actually didn't stop or intervene, and he certainly hasn't led any discussion on it or, you know, since. So, I mean, I'm not saying we shouldn't raise it with them. I just would say my hopes aren't high for him hearing us.
I think, to be fair, we haven't raised anything yet either.
Yeah,
so.
And Joy, you're pretty tough, and he's kind of a light. I mean, he's I think he'd be easy to make feel bad quickly. I suggest we sick you on him.
Let me give you some background. He came in through the registry stakeholder group to the council and didn't know, he was kind of put out there, and he came up to speed really fast on council. I have to tell you, I'm surprised as all get out, he's now chairman of the council, but he's got a huge learning curve. He's a real smart guy, he's a real nice guy, but he's still a newcomer to the council, much less being chair. Joy, you definitely outrank him on both of those.
No, I don't think that's the case at all. But look, what I'm happy to do is I'm happy to draft something for the team to look at, and then if you're okay with it, then I'll send it to Jonathan today.
Great.
Yep.
That would be fantastic. We should not be shy about raising the procedural point here, you know, just because they won't like it. What they did was utterly bogus.
And my impression is that, he's not been very experienced at chairing things, which is, you know, he's actually got to learn how to do it. And he's got to learn that there are rules for these things. You don't just kind of make the process up as you go along.
Yeah, I think that's the right way to set the tone.
Okay. Happy to do that.
Okay. And substantively on this motion, when it comes forward, presuming all of the procedural issues are not accepted, then we would vote no on the motion. Are there some Cylons on the line here?
Sorry, yes. We would. My vote hasn't changed on the substantive motion.
Yeah, on the substantive motion, we're always going to vote no on this, I think. This is just a tactical question of...
Yes, David is right. No, but let's play this tactical game before we go to the no.
Yep.
Okay. So do we have a clear path for this one? Can we move on to the next motion, or do we need more discussion on this?
This is Lama. Can I ask a question?
Please.
I was just wondering, because this whole issue came up after most of the NCSG councillors left the meeting last time. And if there hasn't been a discussion following that on whether this motion should take place or not, then wouldn't it be feasible to at least ask to postpone it to a following meeting after a discussion has taken place?
sorry. So you're suggesting that we would ask for a discussion?
I mean, at least to get the NCSG input on whether this motion should be allowed to take place or not. The GNFO meeting is in a few days, right?
Right. So you think we should open it up to the list? Maybe just bring the issue to the list and try to get some of the members engaged in this particular point?
Or at least have the NCSG counselors discuss it with the rest of the council before a vote actually takes place?
Yeah.
I think there'll likely be discussion about the procedural issues within council.
In the council meeting.
Procedural issues within council, I definitely don't... policy issues from council definitely should be opened up. But procedural stuff like this, I don't think there's any... I don't think it needs broader input, really.
Okay. All right, thanks.
Okie doke. Unless there's nothing further on this one, let's move to the next motion, which I think should be a quick one for us, but we'll see. Shall we move on? Okay, the next issue is the Consumer Trust, the GNSO Council Agenda Item 5 motion. The GNSO's Consumer Choice Trust and Competition Working Group has worked on an advice letter for consideration by the ICANN supporting organizations and advisory committees. Following the withdrawal of the motion from the October meeting, a revised advice letter has been prepared, and the GNSO Council is now asked to consider and approve this revised advice letter. Okay, so let me open this up. Do our counselors or any other people on the call have any thoughts on this advice letter and voting for or against or questions or concerns about it?
Sure. This is Wendy.
And then Kathy.
I was part of the team early on that was working on this, and it diverged further and further from anything I thought was a good idea, particularly around the notion that ICANN should be promoting consumer trust, which includes metrics like how many domain names have been hit with UDRP complaints, not even validated complaints or complaints that passed muster with the panel. And the metrics still have things like anti-spam measures or spam counts that I think are not a helpful way to be thinking about new GTLDs. So I have opposed this in comments, and I would oppose the recommendation at council.
Okay, I join Wendy.
All right. Is there anyone who thinks differently? Who thinks we should vote for this motion, or has any questions about it?
Kathy, I have a question.
Yes, Kathy.
I'm reading through this for the first time. I've been reading through it for the last half hour or so, and it really shocks me. This is pretty terrible stuff in here. I was wondering.
It is.
Yeah, it's terrible. I was wondering whether. Our voice, it was Wendy and Alex on the team, right? Maybe somebody else. But the question is, did our participation make a difference in the text? Did we impact any of that to make it better? And then if this stuff goes into effect, this is pretty lousy, this UDRP and measuring, as you said, the complaints. It's a meaningless survey. Trademark owners are greedy if they decide to become greedier. Why is that a measure of ICANN's success or not?
Wendy, the group started multiplying its calls and moving them to time that I could no longer make for 2 hours at a time, so I wasn't able to follow all of its work. I had a conversation with... the chair, but no, I don't think that our comments were taken on board.
Okay, so this is pretty much fringe stuff that's in here.
I tried to interest the the registries and registrars in it more. And I think the closest look I got was Jeff Newman saying it shouldn't apply, or some of the things shouldn't apply to single owner brand TLDs. Yeah, but nobody really went and looked at it more deeply.
I think that this is Bill. My sense of it was the problem was that our criticisms, and Wendy was definitely overwhelmingly the lead on this. Our criticisms of it were too meta for them. I mean, we were saying, you know, this whole thing really is not very good. And Steve was always like saying, "Well, give me a concrete incremental little tweak I can make to make it better." And you know, when you're telling them that the whole project is ridiculous, and they're committed to it, it becomes a disconnect. There was no way to really make it better based on what he was doing.
Okay, so what are the implications when this goes into effect, if it passes?
This is mandated by the affirmation of commitments.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, you know, unfortunately.
Yeah, I know. Lots of stuff is. It's terrible. I worked on some of that, yeah. Okay, thank you. I appreciate the answers. Thanks.
Is there the expectation that this motion is going to pass at council? Are contracted parties willing to vote for this? Or can we kill it because it's so horrible?
The councilors might have a different view. My sense is that they'll vote for it because it's been, I would have guessed, I mean, it's been talked about for repeatedly over and over and over a million times, and they haven't objected. So for them to turn around now and say we can't live with this would be kind of strange.
It's Joy here. I think also, well, it would be fair to say that we have raised objections over the last year at various points in council discussions. I know it's definitely that Wendy has, and we've raised, you know, various questions as so former councillors. I think it's, the view seems to be that this is a fait accompli because of it, it's required by the affirmation of commitments. And while we can raise our concerns and objections, shared views about it for the motion to fail.
So there's
Wendy might correct me if I'm wrong. Or Wolfgang?
My sense. Nobody's engaged enough with it to vote against it. And from the registrars, I got a sense that, you know, this is something that's been going on for so long.
Is there a way we can amend this to take the horrible stuff out? If the motion is going to pass just because it's been sitting around long and people feel like they need to pass something that's been sitting around for so long, is there something we can do to make it so it's not so horrible before it passes?
That's the point. I think, you know, at this point, given the whole framing of the project and the fundamental concepts that underlie the way they're approaching this, I don't see tweaks that you could make that make it less obnoxious.
Well, except for, I don't know, I mean, if there are things that are mandatory, make them, I don't know. I mean, I would really need to look at it carefully, which I have not done, and try to imagine ways of, you know, taking the horribleness out of it. I'm just wondering if that's worth doing. I mean, if this is a horrible thing and it's going to pass, we should try to do something to stop it or make it not as bad. And, you know, fail we fail, but I think we should try.
Joy, Wendy, anybody got a? Is there anything we could do?
Well, I find it pretty problematic to think about what we could do. I mean, I'm open to ideas. I mean, other than reiterating the concerns that we've previously had, if anyone has an innovative idea, I mean, obviously, I'd be open to it.
Yeah, I want to know where the abuse standards are for intellectual property. I want to
having a look at the advice
because I'm looking at the source of all sorts of measures, and we don't have any. Or maybe, I don't know, there seem to be different inputs. I don't know. I think this has to, I don't know if it can go back again to be balanced more, but.
Well, look, I mean, I'm really happy to raise points if you feel you can relate them to the actual, you know, letter that's the subject of the motion.
Mm-hmm.
And I can certainly ask John Barrard if there might be, you know, any kind of friendly amendment. He's open to any kind of friendly amendment. But all I'm saying is I wouldn't get your hopes high. So you're just seeing something through on the list, Kathy.
Yeah, I'm probably, I don't, the motion is pretty broad, and the report is pretty terrible, so I'm not sure what to do here. But thanks for all your efforts. Something that may happen in the future is if someone gets really busy or a working group goes off the rails, maybe someone can raise their hand. You know, Wendy, it's really hard. The stuff is really hard, but there may be ways to put in substitutes.
Because
as soon as we leave them alone, they go nuts.
Yeah, thanks, Kathy. I did try to get other folks commenting
sure.
on this earlier on. I agree we could have done more, and we'll try further.
Okay. Good, I'll take a fast look, but in terms of the motion, I don't think I see anything. But anyway.
Sorry, this is Wolfgang. Has anybody an idea whether we could find some friendly language or some language which would be seen as a friendly amendment which could rebalance the text, so with reference to human rights or something like that? So I think the whole thing is really bad, and if we cannot stop it, you know, one option is always, you know, to have some references in the motion which will help us in the future to come back to issues which are more in our interest. But I have no clue at this stage. So, but Wendy was involved in this from the very early day. Wendy, do you have any idea what additional language we could propose just to make the life a little bit more complicated for the others?
I can't think of additions to the motion that would likely go anyplace. I think we could read some objection statements into the record with votes and at least make clear the lack of total consensus.
Are our counselors all of one mind on this one? I mean, are the six of you all voting no?
As it stands, yes, I vote no.
I'll vote no.
So if the six of you are voting no, is there not one person we could pick off from somewhere?
Oh.
I would think we've got to have some alliance with some common ground with the contracted parties on this, that we could, you know, work something out with them to change this around. I mean, I realize time is short.
I'll try
but.
One further outreach to registrars.
Okay. All right, so any other thoughts on this consumer trust issue? Sounds like we're going to need to do a little bit of offline work on this in the next day or two.
Robin, since you're not reading the Skype, could you just add me to that Google Doc, please?
Yep. You mean you want to have editing privileges to the attendance record sheet, right?
Yeah, I thought I'd add who else came. Call.
Okay, I'm just clarifying when you say add you, that's the specific thing you want added. Okay. Let me first move us to the next agenda item, which is the staff's trademark clearinghouse straw man proposal and the IPC BC domain name blocking proposal. So this is a big issue before the GNSO now and ICANN now, as everyone knows. Toronto, the intellectual property constituency and the business constituency sent a letter to ICANN's CEO and board requesting, or some would say demanding, 8 additional concessions in the new GTLD policy for their benefit, and staff agreed to entertain those points and called for a meeting. Well, first they had a meeting in Toronto, which we didn't know anything about and had no part in. And then they organized a meeting in Brussels a few weeks later, and Kathy and I participated on the telephone for that discussion. And then staff organized another meeting in Los Angeles a couple of weeks later, and I went down there in person for one of the days, and Kathy participated on the phone. And we both participated on the phone for the second day. And then there was a couple follow-up calls, telephone calls, with the group that Fadi convened. And coming out of the L.A. meeting, staff drafted a straw man proposal. And it's a series of 4 proposals to give further concessions to the IPC, BC, on some of the points that they were asking for in that Toronto letter. Staff has now put their proposal out for public comment, and also before the GNSO, and is asking for guidance on the GNSO. There's an additional proposal called the blocking proposal, or also known as the limited defensive registrations proposal, as the IPCBC calls it, but really it's a blocking proposal, that for some reason we're also being asked to comment on, even though there was no support outside of its proponents for that. There's a comment period that's currently open, so and it was just extended to January 15th for the original comments and February 5th for the reply comments. So I drafted an initial response and sent it to the policy committee list over the weekend, and I'm hoping I can get some feedback from Kathy and from other counselors and other members who are interested in these issues, and then we can, you know, formulate an NCSG official response to submit in these different comment forums. So that's sort of my trying to be neutral and introducing the issue. I'd like to open it up, and I'm sure Kathy must have some things to say, because I know you participated in a lot of these discussions and have a lot of thoughts and feelings on these issues, but others as well. So let me just start there and open it up. Anyone want to get in the queue on this point?
Kathy.
Okay, go ahead.
You know, Robin's right about everything she says, but I want to provide a slightly different perspective, in part because I know this is coming to you, our counselors, in front of the council, although I'm not exactly sure how it's coming, what form it's coming in front of you. But from Fadi's perspective, and he spent some time telling us his perspective, what he really wanted to do is finalize the contracts for the Trademark Clearinghouse and for the validators of the trademarks. As you know, we spent a lot of time, Constantinos and I and Wendy and Robin, you know, with the STI, the group that helped revise, for anyone who doesn't know, the group that helped revise a lot of the rights protection mechanisms and new top-level domains. We spent a lot of time on something called the Trademark Clearinghouse, and Fadi came in, and it's supposed to go operational for testing purposes in January, and yet he found that we hadn't fully agreed on enough details to give him what he needed to finalize the contract. And, guys, thank goodness he held the meeting in Brussels. I was on it for, I think it was 2 days, so 12 hours one day and maybe 8 or 9 hours the next day. But it turns out, God bless all our friends, that they hadn't bothered to put in the exact description of goods and services. The Trademark Clearinghouse was not capturing that data, which would have meant it would be impossible to provide it. And the trademark claims notice to registrants when they log on in the first 60 days of new top-level domains. so by catching it, I was able to get it written in. All they were going to do was put down class whatever telecommunication services, which isn't nearly specific enough. When you write a trademark, especially in the United States and other countries, not every country, but U.S. and UK, you have to be very specific about what you're asking for. You're not claiming all telecom. You're claiming a specific type of service within telecom, and you're bound to that. That's your scope. And they had left it out. So thank goodness he went through the details. Did we catch everything? And you say, no, you didn't. And so the LA meeting was a little broader. And it's not our guy's fault. It's not necessarily the fault of the people who participate in ICANN. The forces seem to be coming in from outside of ICANN. We're talking Pepsi, groups that we don't know very well. And their IP lawyers apparently threw a fit at the intellectual property constituency and said, how could you have given up so much? At which point they're like, okay, you try to fight these people. You know, you fight Robin and Kathy. And basically that's what was created. And so they did. They tried to completely supplant us. They used their entire meeting of the commercial stakeholder group in Toronto with the board to really push this through. And apparently Fadi looked up and said, have you socialized this with the other constituencies? And the answer was no. And he's like, well, let's at least do that. So from his perspective, he's broadening it. Of course, it wasn't. I'm sorry, it wasn't balanced, and it was last minute, and all of this. But from his perspective, he was actually trying to broaden it. And their number one proposal was blocking, and that was blocked. And it was blocked. It was late at night. It was not great circumstances. But from Fadi's perspective, he needed to finalize the contracts with IBM, which is providing the trademark clearinghouse database and query services to the registries, and Deloitte, which is the first validator. They will be the first of many after, you know, 10 new top-level domains. New validators will be added, but Deloitte is the first one. And so these contracts have now been finished, and from Fadi's perspective, they can go on to create these infrastructures that ICANN has promised the community. So now we're kind of stuck with the residual, which is whatever the intellectual property guys were able to push through this group of fairly unreceptive, in fact, very unreceptive people. And one was an extension of 30 days to the trademark claims notice. And the other was, and it's coming to you on counsel because it was determined it wasn't implementation, but the intellectual property would like something called trademark plus 50. They want when you, it has to do with how you match the domain name. So let me give you the detail. The trademark clearinghouse is looking for exact matches or very, very slight variations. So I put in Kleiman.family in a new GTLD. Remember, none of this applies to existing TLDs. So I put in Kleiman.family, and there's a trademark for Kleiman or Smith or McDonald's. The trademark claims notice will show me the country of the trademark, the class of goods and services, the description of goods and services. And then I have to decide whether I want to go forward or not with that. The trademark plus 50 claim is, let's say that I, what's a common typo? Somebody give me a typo. Google with a zero, two zeros instead of two O's. Let's say Google filed UDRPs on that. The question is, and they won repeatedly, and .net and .com and .org. And now what they want to do out of frustration and accept it as legit, you know, as sincere, out of frustration, they don't want to have to go over Google with two zeros again. Yahoo. Actually, Yahoo is very big on this. This is J. Scott Evansing. So imagine Yahoo with two zeros instead of two O's. So he wants to actually just add it to the trademark clearinghouse list as something that if I put in Yahoo with two zeros, yahoo.games, it will trigger the trademark claims notice as if I had typed in Yahoo itself. We can understand that, but the idea of 50 variations is nuts, and in fact, the idea of variations at all was expressly rejected by the STI because the implementation, the unintended consequences are a lot. You could wind up with a very legitimate word that is a typo of another word. I'll let Robin explain some more of this, but the trademark plus 50 is going to come to you guys, and I think you're going to be asked, is it policy, which it is? Do you want to evaluate it, which you don't? I think you want to reject it. And if there's a way to reject it instead of sending it off to a PDP, I would recommend that. Does any of this make any sense?
Yes.
Well, yeah, no, it makes a lot of sense.
What does it mean for the motion?
Well, there isn't a motion on the table on this issue. This is just one that's up for public or for council discussion.
No. There's a letter from Fadi to the council, isn't there?
Yeah, there's a letter from Fadi to the council, right, and that's what's being discussed. But there's not a motion for the council to vote on at this point, unless I'm misunderstanding something. I looked at, I took this directly from
the letter. If it's a letter, then the council has yet to draft a response to think about.
Yes, and I believe I saw on the council list that Mason Cole, I think, took a stab at drafting an initial response, but I thought there was either the file was corrupt or there was something wrong with my computer. I wasn't able to open it and read it. I don't know if other councilors read that draft that was posted to the council list by one of the contracted parties and maybe can tell us what it says.
I didn't think it was posted to the council list yet, but I've certainly seen the draft.
Yes, posted to the council list. That's where I saw. That's where I tried to read it.
I've certainly seen the draft that Mason was putting out, and it looked pretty good. Yeah, but he was taking a pretty firm stand.
Okay.
It's Joy here, Robin. Mason approached us off council list on the draft letter. And I'm just trying to see if I can find it. I actually thought you were on the list there, or we might have forwarded it. But essentially, they're opposed to the straw man proposal, and there's quite a lot of common ground there. I think there's considerable admiration for the work that you and Kathy have been doing. On that, and Mason specifically came to us, councillors, before going to the wider council with that draft letter. And
do you want to share it with us? Would our input be of value?
Yeah, I actually thought that you'd seen it, and I apologise if you haven't. I'm happy to forward that.
Yeah, that would be great, because I tried to download it from the council list, and I'm on such an old, crappy computer right now that half the time I can't do things, and I wasn't able to open it and look at it, so I didn't know if it was a problem with my computer or a problem with the file itself. So if anyone has read it and can send it to me, I'd appreciate it.
I'll do that right now.
If you have any questions, if we can give you any background, let us know. Robin and I were there. We're happy to tell you.
That was really useful background that the blocking, the variance proposal had been considered explicitly as policy and rejected.
Yes.
That's right, and it's also something that, ICANN staff said in a letter to Congress a month ago that there's no way they could possibly do that. So they've done a lot of 180s here in the last month to try to breathe some life into some of these proposals that the community has rejected time and time again.
And it's one other thing. You can see that there is a legitimate, there is a legitimate issue here from the IPC, and they've got a real cause for frustration, but clearly that something that will be, just that they've won a UDP, an UDRP against it in the past doesn't mean they would win in a completely different, putting it in a new GTLD actually, can put it in a different class of services and so on.
Exactly. And what we talked about a lot in the SCI was one letter can make a huge difference. One letter is often a typo, but it's also an entirely different word. Enom, big registrar, enom, you add a V in front of it, that's venom. That's a different word. And we found that with lots and lots of situations. So, and lots of generic words, and of course, generic words are used. By the way, goggle is trademarked several times in the U.S. Trademark Office. You add an extra O to it, it's Google. We can't be shutting down these small businesses right as they're being born.
Well, and, I mean, the example about, you know, Apple, you know, Apple doesn't get to suppress people talking about fruit. All that stuff.
Right, right.
Yeah, and I think from a substantive trademark law perspective, you know, this trademark plus 50, they're being called as, well, these are abused trademarks. Well, every trademark, you know, gets infringed at one point or another. So if that's all you need is to be able to wave a default certificate around and you get these rights, then this is even bigger than the globally protected marks list. I mean, this in terms of the standard of how easy it is to get these particular rights. So, you know, when you get a judgment against someone for trademark infringement, it only applies in that particular circumstance that these particular people did something wrong. It doesn't mean, therefore, everyone else who maybe wants to criticize the trademark or discuss the trademark or all sorts of other perfectly lawful, legitimate, non-commercial uses of that trademark should be prevented, should be presumed to be infringing. That's not what trademark law does, but that's what this proposal does. So it's you know, vastly expands the kinds of privileges that trademark holders would be given well beyond what trademark law actually provides. I mean, this is, you know, it stands trademark law on its head. So,
and if you want to be really polite, you can remind them how much we've already given them and run down the Trademark Clearinghouse and the URS and the RRDRP and the PDDRP, which can be it's our intellectual property right actions against top-level domains. So if you promise to do Apple for Apple growers and decide to go into electronics, that's a PDDRP. There's a real fast way to revoke it. You can remind them how much they've already gotten. And all they do is whine about how much they haven't gotten. And every time we go back and remind them how much they've already gotten. So, by the way, procedurally, they're going to try to refer anything that they can. They're going to try to refer into committee so that hopefully we lose interest and they can take it another level. So if you can stop it procedurally, if you can kill it at the council level, please do. Please
okay.
Try to keep this from getting referred off into committees that then
yes.
We have to monitor.
And I'd
way,
be curious to hear from Mark.
Anything that comes out of the GNSO at this point has the danger of applying to all top-level domains, not just new ones, but existing ones too, and the intellectual property guys want that. So just several danger points here if this takes on a life of its own.
Now, from my discussions with various contracting parties and also reading the GNSO list and getting a sense for where the representatives are on this issue, I don't have the sense that there's much support outside of the IPCBC for these proposals, but I'd be curious to hear what others think and if, you know, you've had conversations with other counselors or other members of the GNSO who think they're willing to give some ground on some of these points. It'd be helpful to hear.
Yes, this is my impression from also some conversations that Richard Strauss and Richard Trees are not so excited about this special thing. So they want to move forward. And, you know, this is another reason for further delays.
Just one other point. I mean, I suppose also I think other councillors are increasingly frustrated with, and I think this is true across the council, with this constant re-litigation by the business constituency and IP constituency undermining the GNSO council generally, you know, whether it's on this proposal or any other. But this is clearly one where they've, you know, despite their protestations in meetings about the need for the council to act coherently and to, you know, the X, Y, Z for the GAC and for the board, we have, you know, one of the first instances of Fadi in his new role being lobbied for, you know, an extraordinary expansion of, you know, ICANN policy far outside a proper PDB process. So, I mean, I think there is just actually this more general issue, which I think we also need to keep hammering because this won't be the last time this happens. It's just another chapter in the story.
And it might be time to send a message that, you know, we're not going to entertain these off-road policymaking, you know, long after the deadline sort of exercises like this. And somebody's got to put their foot down. And as long as, everyone just says gives and gives and gives to make the problem go away, the problem's going to continue because it's a successful strategy for them to just continue to hammer away, and people get so frustrated and say, fine, fine, I'll give you what you want, just let me, you know, we got to put our foot down. We as a community have to put our foot down. ICANN staff has to put its foot down and say, we're not going to entertain this anymore. That's the only way to make this go away, because continuing to allow it to change policy is only encouraging this kind of bad behavior.
Yeah, you are right. That was, by the way, a nice conversation between Chuck Gomez and Steve Metalitz in a dinner, when Chuck Gomez more or less criticized the BC and saying, you know, ICANN is not a place where I can go for 100%. All the business have to learn to compromise and then to live as a compromise. And I think a lot of in the business constituency want to get 100%. And so I think this is different. You know, we have always to tell them that ICANN is not a shareholder corporation. It's a stakeholder corporation, and that's rather different. And in, I only can agree with what you have, what you just have said. By the way, I have to leave the call in 2 or 3 minutes. And I think you know that I think it's tomorrow, there's another call from the IGO working group. So this will affect probably also a little bit the motion on which we discussed a little bit earlier. So sorry for leaving the call now, and I wish you all the best. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and let's move forward.
Great. Thank you very much, Wolfgang. Happy holidays to you, too.
Thank you.
Take care, Wolfgang. Could I just add as a just on Wolfgang's point, he mentioned Chuck, and I think that's absolutely right. And there, we need to find the people in the other stakeholder groups who recognize that it's not a 100% thing, right? I mean, Chuck is actually very good that way. He's very cognizant of the need for compromise to bring everybody along. And so much of the, in my experience, so many of the corporate people we deal with, just they come in for the maximum kill all the time. And I don't know if there's any strategic way to identify others that we could maybe try to pull along, particularly on the council, who maybe have a little bit different view on that, but I'm just thinking out loud. Sorry. End of wandering comment. No, but I'm serious about this. I mean,
I know.
How many corporate people, I mean, Chuck comes up to me all the time and tells me, yes, VeriSign has to compromise. We have to recognize blah, blah, blah. You know, we can't have everything we want. We have to have everybody's support, blah, blah, blah. I mean, how many corporate people say this? So we should really try to work with the ones that do think this way.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of shared frustration within the community on this point. And, you know, we can really find some allies and find some, you know, common ground with contracted parties in particular on this. We should use it.
All right, Joy here. I just faded out on what the point was there, that we should use this. Can you just repeat the point?
I'm sorry, could you say that again?
I was only kind of trying to amplify what Wolfgang said. There are people like Chuck, I think, in the business community, not many, but a few, that we should really try to identify to work with when we can, who I think recognize that they can, that the whole function of coming into ICANN and trying to do stuff is to not necessarily to win 100% or 110% for your client or your company, but rather to make the whole system work. And who recognize that sometimes that means you have to compromise a bit. And I certainly think of Chuck as a, I don't mean to keep saying this, particularly if this is going to be recorded, as a person who thinks that way. And I've always had trouble identifying other corporate people, but I don't know the current council well. I hope we can try to cultivate some relations with some other people. That's all I'm saying. Because we obviously don't have the votes to prevail on anything at this point. and we have to identify potential allies in the private sector.
Yeah, okay, no, I got that. I just missed out on the subject of it.
So do our counselors have a good sense, do you think, for where we are as a stakeholder group and going into Thursday's meeting and on the, there's, you know, the procedural issues with the way this was done outside of the PDP process, and then there's the substantive issues. And I tried to go through them in that document I sent out, and I welcome feedback and comments and additional input into that as well, even though I know it's pretty long, but...
Thanks again, Robin and Kenny, for your outstanding work on this. They're great.
Welcome. Just a quick note that Jonathan forwarded, and if you want, I can re-forward it to you. There's a message from Jonathan on December 5th from Jonathan Robinson forwarding a letter from Fadi. As he comes, he says, and Fadi says, I'm seeking policy guidance from the GNSO Council on two items that were part of the straw man proposal, but were decided that it was really policy, not implementation. Do you want me to forward this to you so that it's on? Actually, Robin, do you want to re-forward it to everyone so that they can see?
Sure.
And again, the faster you can kill it, you know, if you can, the better, I think. And it sounds like you've got
lots of allies. Yeah, I think we want to kill this. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, keep us on speed dial or speed email in case questions come up during the council meeting. You know, if we're around, Robin, I'm sure we'd be happy to, you know, if specific issues or questions come up, since they may involve actual knowledge of things that happened at the meeting, you know, feel free to send us an SOS if that would help.
Yeah, we can try to be on Skype during that. I usually, as long as they're not in the middle of the night, I will try to listen in and be on Skype. I'm not sure what time this meeting is this week, but so I may very well be on Skype at the time of it if anyone wants to have any further feedback on,
right.
The,
thank you,
on the trademark proposals. Okay. Boy. What else on this issue? I mean, there's on the one hand, there's so much, and on the other hand, you know.
Oh, can I? What about Maria's ombudsman complaint?
Ah, right.
That's another relevant dimension here.
Indeed.
I mean, I understand there was some difference of views on the point, but I do think finding someone, I don't know if the ombudsman is the right vehicle in this case, but objecting to this. Fadi does seem to be trying to make stuff work and happen by playing fast and loose a little bit. And we really need to, like, try to rein him in at the front end, or that will get deeply institutionalized as his process.
Yeah, I see that as well. I mean, I think he means well. I think he's trying to move the process along as best as he thinks he understands he knows how to do. The problem is he comes from this corporate world where you make executive decisions, and that's not ICANN. We are now in a multi-stakeholder, bottom-up policy development forum, and I think we need to retrain him that this is how you do things in the bottom-up forum, not executive decisions, but actually coming from the members in the GNSO, and it's because a policy is what the membership wants that it gets put forward, not because it's a staff choice. So I think that, you know, while I think on the one hand he means well and he's not trying to be a jerk, on the other hand, he doesn't know the multi-stakeholder model. This is a new environment to him, and it is incumbent upon us to train him. And sometimes that means criticizing when he screws up, like going off-road and making up policies in the middle of the night with, you know, 14-1 in the room kind of ratios. So, you know, I mean, it's not a simple answer, but I think we do need to hold his feet to the fire and show him the way that policy is supposed to be done properly in an international governance organization that does more than just claims to be bottom-up policy development, but in fact follows its own rules, follows its own processes, and respects the will of the GNSO members. That's my view. Yeah. I'm sure there are others.
You want to hear the counterpoint on that? Which
Please.
Is that ICANN has had back rooms since the beginning of time. The fact was we were never in them. We're very rarely in them. A lot of stuff has been cut. A lot of deals have been cut in back rooms in ICANN. And as Avery reminds us, the board can practically do whatever it wants. I mean, it is a corporation. It's a not-for-profit corporation, and the board has a lot of powers to act unilaterally. So the counterpoint is that we'd rather be in the back room than not. We'd rather be there to help say what's implementation and what's policy and help stop things that are policy if we can and help flag them as policy if we have to. The reason TM Plus 50 is going to you guys is because ICANN staff stopped fighting and said this is not an implementation detail. This has been expressly rejected by, reviewed and rejected by the STI. This is policy, and the community is not going to accept it if you don't send this through the GNSO. And staff caught it, and they did. So,
staff caught it.
So, you know, I flagged it, and then staff followed up. So, but it was the middle of the night. On the other hand, Fadi is looking at $350 million he's taken in, a new GTLD program he must roll out, and the fact that a whole bunch of policy was done but not a whole bunch of implementation details. So is he making some mistakes at the border? Sure. Is he trying to do a little too much? Yes. But did he invite us in the room? Did he invite four of us in the room? Absolutely. We're not 14, but he invited four. Only two could make it, one by phone and one in person. Thank goodness Robin was there in person. He's trying. He's got a lot of stuff to do very quickly. Not all of it is going to go back through the GNSO. Not all of it can go through the GNSO. But if we don't blow up the relationship, we will continue to be in the back room.
This is Bill. Can I agree with both of you, even though you're saying different things? I think we do.
I agree with Kathy. I think she agrees with me. They're just different.
Okay.
They're just different lenses.
There's some disagreement on the list about Maria's I'm buddy thing, and I understand the basis of that disagreement. I would only say, you know, I think that It's great that we're in the smoke-filled room too, Kathy. But you know, I mean, I'm from Chicago. I understand back room. but you know, we should also be saying, hey, this is really not the best way to do these things, particularly when we're trying to convince the rest of the world that ICANN is a legitimate global policy-making institution that should be supported rather than, you know, attacked in the United Nations and so on and so forth. I mean, you know, it doesn't help their case whenever the leadership decides, hey, you know, process is inconvenient and we'll just go underground and work something out. It's damaging to them.
I think he was trying to get to his contracts, which would be implementation. I think he stepped over the line somewhat inadvertently, and he knows that now. I'm very certain he knows that now.
Okay.
May I just try to interrupt? This is Norbert. I am finally online, and I can hear you talking, and I just wanted to say I'm here.
Thank you, Norbert. I'm so glad you were able to join. I know there was some difficulty with no dial-out in Cambodia.
But I am now in. Just go on.
Great. Well, I mean, I think that we're all kind of agreeing with each other. It's just sort of a question of where do we put our emphasis. And, you know, I think we do want to be in the room. We don't want to blow up the relationship, as it said. But if any form of criticism whatsoever, even when justified, means the relationship is blown up, then it isn't a relationship worth having. So, you know, the CEO has to be willing, staff has to be willing to hear a little bit of criticism without, you know, claiming that we're blowing them up or, you know, I mean, they have to really be able to have a little bit of a thicker skin and learn from their mistakes and admit that things could have been done better.
Yes, and we have to be fair in how we do it. I mean, fair, neutral, I think maybe above board. Fadi is new to the process. I'm not sure he's as used to our give and take and, you know, calling people out on the carpet as candidly as we do sometimes. Just a thought.
So then what do we do with Maria's thing? Leave her? I mean, I feel like, you know, I wish we could have coordinated more before she filed it, but she's done it. Are we going to leave her? Are we going to leave her as an individual complainee? In which case, we should explain.
Well, what would be the? I mean, that's what she filed. What would you propose as an alternative?
I thought she was asking us to endorse it as a group thing. She seemed to be saying that to me.
Okay, I missed that.
I thought she wanted backing, and you know, if we're not going to back her, I think we should at least tell her. We think maybe this is not the right. We share the concern, but this is not the right way to do it, or whatever.
Well, I support her. I think, you know, I think that the issue had to have been raised, and that seems to be what the Ombudsman Office is there for. And you know, so I certainly support her personally, and I can't speak for others. I'm just giving my own view, but I would support her on that complaint.
Generally speaking,
I think
if it goes through the Ombudsman Office, Chris is likely to take the. I mean, he's not going to go in aggressively on the process generally. So, I think we let the Ombudsman. I mean, we support the issue with the Ombudsman, and but I think we accept whatever he says rather than keep pushing at the issue, basically.
Yeah, I don't know if we need to have a really big big internal debate. Do we support the complaint? Do we not support the complaint? I don't know that that's particularly useful. I mean, it's there. The issues are there, and the Ombudsman will work through them as he works through them. And
I don't mean to fetishize the issue. I was simply asking because this did come up on the list. She did pose it, and she did, I think, ask whether we supported it. Okay,
yeah, I think it's a very candid complaint against the CEO, and you may take it personally, just letting you know.
I'm pretty sure he's taking it personally. But that's, you know what, that's not okay.
Has anyone talked to Maria about it?
I've tried. She's been really busy for the last 2 weeks, or since she posted it. She's been really, really busy.
And she's on holiday now, I think.
Yeah.
Like traveling in the. So, and it might well be even harder to reach.
Well,
and was crazy busy up until she left on a holiday.
Can we park
it? I'm sorry, Joy. Did you say, Joy?
I'm just asking if we can park it until she's back.
Yeah, I think maybe that's the thing to do. I mean, I just, you know, I don't know that we need to have a big discussion on that right now.
Yeah.
Okay. Were there any other thoughts on this issue?
Nope.
Okay.
Thanks for all your time on it, guys.
Thank you, Kathy. Thank you for your time on this. Off in the middle of the night for you, I know. Okay, so the next issue is the special privileges for Red Cross and Olympic Committee and intergovernmental organizations. Okay, so there's a GNSO Council discussion and a response to the GAC letter. This issue that we've just touched upon, but here we see it again, of implementation versus policy. And, you know, policy is supposed to be made by the GNSO, whereas implementation details staff pretty much has a free hand with. So, you know, it's kind of a power struggle for who gets to write these rules, whether or not you call them policy or whether or not you call them implementation. And so everything the GAC wants, they call implementation, just do it. And the GNSO is saying, well, hey, wait a minute here. These were some policy matters that we've dealt with and that we're charged with within our authority to deal with. So it's a little bit of a power struggle with the GNSO and the GAC, and with staff taking often sides with the GAC. So the GAC sent a letter to the GNSO on this IGO-NGO issue, requesting a rationale for undertaking the PDP. They want an explanation as to why the GNSO believes this should be evaluated through a PDP rather than simply executed, that's a good choice of words, as an implementation process. This letter and recent activities relates to the Trademark Clearinghouse, highlights a broader issue regarding the boundary between policy development and implementation work, as well as the effective integration of policy development and integration work from the outset. So there are a couple things happening on this. There's the GNSO is going to have to respond to the GAC on this letter, and and then on the substantive issues of the working group that's been set up, the NCSG has been asked for an input statement to provide a statement on the underlying substantive issues as well. So kind of two different pieces to this issue floating around. Anyone want to kick us off with some thoughts on this issue?
It's Joy here.
Yes.
Well, I mean, I think Jeff Newman took the lead on this in the council discussion list, which I think I forwarded to the NCSG list last week, maybe the week before now, and basically proposing that, the GAC letter had raised a number of issues for the council and suggesting that council start a discussion that might look to define, you know, in some kind of reference-type way, policy versus implementation, and that this might help guide, discussion with the GAC going forward. And that's been met with quite enthusiastic response, including from members in the in our own constituency groups. And on that basis, council are preparing a draft response to the GAC. So, I mean, in a way, I think there's quite a degree of consensus around the council on this issue in terms of responding to GAC with that, but also pointing out to the GAC that they've been inconsistent in their own, pointing this out very politely, but that they have been inconsistent in the way in which they've viewed both policy and implementation issues, particularly in relation to the IGO and the Red Cross and IRC IOC issues. So I think, and there's been some quite vigorous discussion around having a clear sort of united GNSO Council front on that. And so the tenor of this item is feeling reasonably constructive from my reading of the Council list anyway. I don't know if other Councils have a different perspective. So my feeling was that we should support the letter, and they're certainly very open to friendly amendments on it and good suggestions, and if people have them, then we should continue to make them.
Okay, so it sounds like the GNSO is going to stand fairly firmly together on this, although, you know, the GAC is largely working at the request of the IPC, so I would imagine that there are some, you know, at least some of the GNSO is going to side with GAC on this.
Yeah, although the IPC don't seem to have the courage of their convictions on the GNSO Council list. So there's been absolutely nothing from what I can see from any of them on that list, despite a specific invitation to talk. So you're right. Certainly, it's not clear what position they're going to take because they're not saying so, but one can assume that they'll continue to not raise their objections formally in council meetings, but to raise them indirectly with third parties outside it.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't engage on the council list on this. It's very... It's odd because there's so much force and there's so much pressure and there's so much energy in the whole community, and they're just silent. And the one forum where it's really supposed to be decided and discussed and debated, they don't raise the issues.
Right. So, I mean, I don't know if as I say, other councillors or former councillors have a view on that, but I certainly get the sense from other
others of the contracted party house that you know, there's a lot of shared values and agreement on this around, you know, with our constituency groups anyway.
Yeah. Okay.
Why do they not sit out on the list?
Can you say that again?
What is the reason why they do not speak out on the list?
My thought is they probably figure that they don't have to, that they're not going to convince people, that, you know, they don't see it as a forum of, you know, well, gee, if I just had a better argument that I could present, I would win. There's nothing really to be gained for them in that respect. It's all in these backroom deals. It's all in lobbying the board, lobbying the GAC. That's where they're going to get the results. It isn't, you know, using logic and reason to persuade their colleagues.
Yeah.
That's just my cynical view. Others may differ.
Yeah. I mean, I would be inclined to agree. I mean, of all of the discussions, as a relatively new councillor, we don't seem to get that substantive view directly from them.
Okay, so was there anything else on this discussion for Thursday? All right, not hearing anything. Let's go on to the other pending GNSO policy issues, which shouldn't take too long. There's the thick who is policy. Do we have anyone on the call who has been participating in that group?
Hey, Robin, this is Amar. I've been participating.
You have? Oh, can you give us a quick update on what's happening in there? That'd be really helpful.
Okay, well, I would say that not much has been happening so far, but three things. First is the email that came out, and I believe Bill forwarded a copy of that to the NCSG listserv on getting some feedback or some inputs on the quiz PDP. The second thing is that if you go over the charter for the working group, there is a list of issues that are defined that need to be discussed on the working group. And Mikey O'Connor, who is chairing the group, has decided to clump a few of them together, things that are related to each other. And we're starting off with three sub-teams that are addressing authoritativeness, stability and data escrow, as well as synchronization and migration together. That's the second thing that's going on. The third thing, I guess, would be... I'm sorry, I seem to have dropped it. Yeah, I think those are the two main issues that are going on right now.
Okay, great.
We haven't really done much so far. Oh, yeah, there is also... They're creating an expert panel, and the working group is trying to come up with questions to ask registrars and registries on what their views are regarding big quiz, and within a special emphasis to affiliates, because they've already done this before.
Okay, when they say an expert panel, expert, what is the expertise in that?
I'm guessing it's just technical.
Technical expertise. Okay.
I am aware that there was also the survey group for the technical requirements, which I think the results have been published right now, regarding the quiz, and I haven't had a chance to really go over them yet. I've tried, actually, but to be honest, I don't really understand much of what's going on there.
Well, welcome to ICAM.
Yeah, thanks. Is that a clear summary?
Is that the
very clear. Thank you.
Sorry, is that the WHOIS expert panel?
Yes.
So they're talking about that. It wasn't just technical. They definitely wanted sort of...
Yeah, the panel was basically members of the working group making suggestions on who should be included in the panel, and we haven't come up with a list of questions yet. This is work in progress. And if you like, once the questions are finalized, I could forward them to the rest of the list.
Are we making suggestions for who should be on the panel?
the work group members are.
Right. Should we be funneling suggestions to the working group members then?
I don't believe that was included in the email regarding request for information, but if you like, I could. I'm supposed to, I guess, report this back to all of you and get feedback. So if you would like to make suggestions, let me know, and I will definitely forward them to the rest of the group.
Yeah, that would be really helpful. So if we could get an idea for the type of criteria, the type of expertise, you know, what they're looking for, I'm sure we would want to contribute a few names for consideration on the panel.
All right, sounds good. One of the questions in the request for information, I believe, was who the NCSG members are who are on the working group. I think we have quite a few. We have five, I believe. Myself, Avery Wilson, Mary Lou from NPOC, and there's a
Roy?
Fifth. Roy. Yeah, that's right. Roy.
Okay.
Roy is on the working group as well.
Great.
Can I ask a question of Amar? This is Kathy.
Yeah, sure.
Sorry, Joy, I just need to say I have to leave the meeting. I'm sorry.
Okay, thank you, Joy. I really appreciate it.
Okay.
Thanks so much.
Bye.
Amar, is there anything that's bothering you about what you're seeing on the Stick Who Is group? Is there anything you think is going in the wrong direction?
A personal impression?
Yes.
Well, to be honest, it seems to... This is just a feeling I have, but I'm still trying to read up on Thick Who Is and what the implications are. I don't really understand all of it very well, but there seems to generally be consensus amongst the work group members that they would recommend implementing Thick Who Is. Part of the charter also involved looking at other working groups and what work they've done. I brought it up with Mikey regarding the survey for their requirements, and that we should take that into account. And at the time, the results weren't ready yet, but I think they are. And I believe we will take a look at it. But generally, there seems to be the feeling I'm getting is that, and I would like to say that no one has flat out said this, but the feeling I'm getting is that they're all working towards this.
And do you think we should be working towards it?
Do I think we should be working towards it?
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't. But I guess if you look at the list of items on the charter, let me try to open that up right now. We're creating sub-teams, like I mentioned, and I've volunteered for four of them, one of which is privacy, the other is competitiveness, and these are the sub-teams that I feel might somehow be related to privacy issues and human rights issues.
Mm-hmm.
But there seems to be a lot of talk about technical issues, data escrow, and what's more efficient, and what sort of information is so accessibility, privacy, competitiveness, and authoritativeness. Those are the issues that I felt were maybe slightly policy issues rather than technical issues. But those are what I signed up for personally.
Right.
But regarding technical issues, there seems to be a lot of talk on and emphasis on that, as well as cost effectiveness. And it feels like most of the work group members would like to proceed with recommending a transition to Thick Who Is. We haven't started talking about privacy issues yet, but it looks like, I mean, the feeling I'm getting is that when we're talking about privacy, it looks like it's going to be looking at one aspect of transition to Thick Who Is and trying to see if that one aspect is going to overcome all the other ones that are being discussed. I wouldn't mind some help on this.
If you want to, and maybe there are other people here who have done some thinking on Who Is, on Thick Who Is, but I know it's something we dealt with on the Who Is review team. If you want to run some stuff by me, you're more than welcome to.
Sure, thanks. It's Kathy, right?
Yes, this is Kathy, and there's this is complicated stuff, and there's a long history of why .com is thin, and everything else .com and .net are thin, I think, and everything else is thick.
Yep.
And that history may be valuable.
Okay, great. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Amir,
anyone else? Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to point out, Amir, that Kathy was the co-founder of NCUC and has been doing Who Is since 1999.
So
yeah, I am aware of that.
Who is.
I'm grateful that you're volunteering to help me out.
It would be a pleasure. I'm so glad that you're working on this.
All right. Thanks, Kathy. Sorry, I didn't get that.
Somebody say something there?
This is Bill. I was just saying Roy Ballas also wants to be involved, and he's a member, and we should engage him too.
Yeah, yes, he's on that. He's in that working group as well. I noticed that we've been asked for an input statement, the stakeholder group constituency input statement on this issue. So do we have someone who has begun thinking about this, would like to undertake holding the drafting pen for the initial statement? Amr, would you be interested, or is your plate pretty full at the moment?
No, it isn't pretty full. I would need a lot of input from the rest of the members of NCSG, I guess. Let's assume we want a joint statement from NPOC and NCUC.
I think constituencies can do a statement, and the stakeholder group can do a statement as well. So,
that's great.
Yeah.
I would like to point out, because the holidays are coming up, require more time to prepare a statement, we need to let the working group know in advance. And I believe that was part of the message that we got.
I missed that, the last part of what you were saying there.
Yeah, I'm just saying because the holidays are coming up.
Yes.
If we do require more time, if I'm not mistaken, the deadline is January, the first half of January at some point, to submit a statement to the working group. So if the constituency or a stakeholder group need more time to prepare a statement or a response, then we should let them know in advance.
Okay. I think we can make the deadline at this point.
Okay.
Okay. Any other thoughts on this issue, the WHOIS policy? I hear someone saying something. Anyone? Okay, maybe I don't. The other issue is the registrar agreement amendments. I saw an announcement from staff a couple of days ago, which basically said they're working on it and they still haven't managed to reach agreement on the one remaining issue with the verification validation issue. I don't have anything more than that to add, but I'm wondering and hoping maybe others on the call have been more deeply engaged in this issue and can give us any further deeper background on what's happening in this particular issue.
I think we've reached the 2-hour mark. And passed it, Robin, so...
I see that. Well, I'm trying to finish us up here.
Maybe we could just let this one...
I think we may just... If no one has anything to say or add on it, we can do that. Okay. Hearing nothing, let's... There was one other issue on our agenda, which we did not get to yet, and I'd like to just quickly, if we can, I realize we're 4 minutes over, but I'd like to talk about it, which is the NCSG at-large liaison position. This is a position that we kind of invented a couple of 4 years ago, maybe, to try to have better relations with at-large and the non-commercial stakeholder group. We had Bill filling that position from our side for a couple of years, and now he's taken on a new role, and so that position is vacant. From the at-large side, Evan Leibovich was appointed by at-large to act as our liaison a few years ago, and he's done that the whole time. And so really the question or the issue on the table here is somewhat two things. Do we feel like this is a worthwhile liaison position? Do we feel like this is something that's working for us, that will work for us, that we want to continue with? And if the answer to that question is is yes, then we need to fill it. And we have got a possible candidate, somebody who's thrown their hat in the ring. But before we even, you know, discuss candidates, I think we need to have sort of the bigger meta picture about what this role is, and is it useful to us, and is it something that we want to fill, that we want to have going forward. So with that, I would like to open up the floor. Anyone want to get in the queue?
This is Bill. I'll get in the queue.
Okay. Bill, anyone else?
Not Beth.
Norbert.
Hi, this is Cintra. I'd also like to be in the queue.
Okay. We've got Bill, Norbert, Cintra. Okay, let's start there. Go ahead, Bill.
Okay, so first of all, timelines, just small corrections. I did it, I think, for 4 years. Evan came on the other direction, I think, about a half a year ago, maybe 9 months ago. I have to say, personally, that it's not obvious to me, based on my own experience or anything that I've seen since, that this is necessary to link the two groups. So when you asked the question, I couldn't help thinking about it. You know, the reality is that I spent a lot of time as liaison trying to get the two sides to agree to meet each other at ICANN meetings, because for a long time they weren't kind of interacting, I guess. And so a lot of time was spent organizing either formal meetings or social calls or social events. But the reality is, at the end of the day, the chairs of both parties have to get together and agree an agenda and so on. So the role of a liaison is really not necessary. There's absolutely nothing that, say, Robin and Olivier couldn't do to plan a meeting at an ICANN meeting to say, hey, let's all get together, that the liaison is needed for. The second level at which we interact a lot is the individual level cooperation in GNSO working groups, across community working groups, and things like that. And then again, there too, I mean, it's individuals who choose to participate and work on those issues. The liaison really doesn't have a hell of a lot of role. So, you know, I mean, unless both groups are looking for broader or more expansive kinds of relationships, it's not entirely clear what the liaison can do. And I spent 4 years on the ALAC list, and I kind of didn't know really. I mean, I didn't want to get engaged in their internal deliberations and take sides on issues and so on. Now, Evan takes a different approach to that topic on our list. But either way, I mean, the point is, since you asked the question, do we need to have a liaison, number one? And then also, Cintra was saying, well, we should fund it out of the scarce funds that we have because it's so important. I couldn't help thinking, really, well, why exactly is it so important? It's not clear to me, so I'm open to what people think about this.
Great. Thanks, Bill. Norbert, you're next in the queue.
Well, I have been reading the list on this point during the last couple of days and weeks, and I understand very well what Bill just said. There was, on the other hand, the idea, well, let's continue for one more year and then evaluate it. But I do not know what kind of different evaluation would be made in 1 year if we don't define it very, very sharply, which would be different from what we just heard from Bill saying. So I am very reluctant, again, to say let's go ahead unless we have very clear ideas how this next year would be different from the last 4 years.
Thanks, Norbert. Cintra. Cintra, can you hear me?
Hello, do you hear me?
Oh, yes, go ahead.
Hi, this is Cintra. Okay, my perspective of the liaison position is that beyond what Bill has said, that person is actually going to be in the funnel bridging both constituencies in actually being able to decide what policy we can also, what areas we should actually work together on. So it's not just a matter of joint working groups. It's also at large working groups that maybe we would like to have a representative on, or NCSG working groups that at large we may decide to invite at large to be on. Also, with regard to the fact that everyone is going to retain their role, how do we feel comfortable with at large having a representative or a liaison, you know, as well, and for us not to actually have a reciprocal role? In my opinion, I do think that this role is quite important. I do think at large is gaining a lot of respect, just in terms of an agenda overall, in terms of Fadi's recent comment, that kind of thing. And I do think it's important for us to actually create that synergy and ensure that it's there. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sintra. Is there anyone else who'd like to get in the queue on this? I've got a few thoughts, I'll add. Do I hear someone?
David?
David, okay.
Yeah, I just want to...
Well, I'm sorry, go ahead, David.
Yeah, all I just wanted to say is, yeah, I think the... I mean, if we are going to keep the role, we need to think carefully about what... you know, exactly they should be doing. And I'm not sure that we have, particularly as the... I mean, we created this role before we were really acting as a stakeholder group. And, yeah, I'm not sure how it's been working well since then. And the other thing is, yeah, there was a suggestion made that we need to fund the ALAC liaison, and we've never funded this position, and it really should ideally just go to someone who's already involved in both anyway, but groups anyway, I would think. But many of us are involved. You know, I know there are many people in the NCSG who are also involved in ALAC, so...
Yeah, I think that, you know, nobody is suggesting that we shouldn't work together. I think there are lots of common ground between the at-large and the non-commercial stakeholder group, and I think we all agree that let's focus on those places and let's work together on those places. I think the question is the best way to do that by appointing a liaison? And, you know, it sounds like some people are saying, well, maybe no, it's better if it's more member-driven and comes from the specific, you know, policy issue where the people in the working groups are working together on a particular issue, or, you know, there's sort of more of a natural synergy, a more organic happening of working together, way of working together. So I think that, you know, I think we all agree we want to work together. It's just a question of what's the best way of working together. And I know when it comes to organizing the meetings, that's pretty much Olivier and myself, because we're the chairs and we're managing all the different schedules and the different agendas. And so, you know, the liaison isn't going to be of much use, practical use for that. I'm really just wondering if we're better off trying to have a more organic and you know, ad hoc nature to spur our mutual collaboration rather than, you know, an appointment that then suddenly becomes politicized and people want funding for, and so those are my thoughts, but I'd, you know, like to hear what others think.
Well, unfortunately, Sintra has been disconnected. So...
What do you mean? She's not on the call anymore?
Yeah, she said on the chat that she can't... she got dropped off. And so I don't know if we need to pursue this much more amongst us necessarily. But I will say that, you know, the points that she made about connecting people to working groups, you know, I think if there's an at large or ALAC working group, we don't need somebody, you know, we don't need somebody to say, hey, you guys, go come join it. And we don't really do working groups separate from, you know, ICANN GNSO working groups. I mean, it's just not clear to me that there's a function there.
Yeah. Okay. Was there anything else anybody wanted to add on this point, or shall we pick it up on the list and such?
Yeah. Norbert, once more, very briefly. I mean,
yes.
We do not have really any policy idea for this cooperation, so I do not see why we should try to continue something which actually did not produce much. If you have a policy idea, okay, but I don't hear it.
Yeah. I hear you. Okay, Norbert has the last word on that.
Hey, you know what? Can I just add a last word then? I mean, I really personally don't see that this serves any purpose, as I've said. But on the other hand, if it's going to make somebody all excited optically, that's a consideration too. Maybe one possibility would be to have a single person who is in both. Who's a member both of NC and ALAC, who just passes information back and forth, but that doesn't mean it has to be a funded position or that they're in some crucial role. I know that there's one person has expressed interest who is both an NC, I think is an NCUC member, an NPOC member, and an at-large member. So maybe just doing it that way, you know. Rather than having it like we appoint one to them and they appoint one to us, you know.
We just have one person who serves all three communities.
Yeah, that's an interesting thought.
As a
go back and forth thing, you know, and then that's it. And not turn it into a positional good that we debate, you know, over because there's goodies attached to it.
Yeah, there are no goodies attached to this position. There never have been. There never will be.
Oh,
okay.
Citra's back
yes.
on. Citra, are you there? She said she's back on. Well, I can't hear her.
No, I don't hear anything.
She's typing in the Adobe, but her connectivity is not good. So, all right.
Okay.
I'll stop.
Well, was there anything else? Any other business folks wanted to add? We're 18 minutes over, and so I'd like to draw this to a close. And I really appreciate all of your input and especially staying on the call over and past the deadline.
Can I say that I'm happy to see all these new voices on this call? It was a really good call.
You can say that, and I will second it. I'm really excited about, you know, we've got some new energy, some new synergy, and let's harness it. Let's move forward. This is exciting. Thank you, Bill. Thank you, counselors and members, and we will pick this discussion up on the mailing list.
Hey,
ciao.
Bye-bye.
Thank you all.